Everybody, welcome to 10 Minute Ticks Talks. I'm your host, Michael Brinkman from the Ultimate Toolkit. I'm excited to be joined here today by Maria Troji Poitras, who is the Vice President of Customer Service and Retention with the Minnesota Wild. How's it going, Maria?
It's great, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I know we worked together for 9+ years, I think it was, at the Wild. And obviously a lot of memories over those times with a lot of different things, a Western Conference Finals run and work stoppage and some player holdouts and everything else. But I wanted to start today by, you know, one of the things that I remember most by working with the Wild and working with you there is a lot of the staff camaraderie and the water cooler talks and the various trips that we would take. I know during the work stoppage, we actually all paid for our own trips to go to Las Vegas and hang out as a staff, which was a lot of fun. But can you talk a little bit about, you know, obviously not having the staff together for the most part, the last 12 months, what that's been like and, you know, how that impacts the staff and, getting business done in general?
Absolutely. You're spot on for sure about the culture and that vibe in the office. And we're certainly missing it from not being in the office and working from home. But we're working really hard in a virtual environment to make sure that we can all stay connected because those really are the intangibles, I think, that people in especially ticket sales and service thrive on, is that culture of being in the office and together and that team camaraderie. So we try to work hard on doing some things virtually. You know, we started off really in the spring with a lot of virtual happy hours or trivia nights or bingo, whatever we could do to stay connected. And then I also feel like it's really important with our team, because we're on the phone with our customers so much, and there's so much sharing of information that usually happens in the office too. So not just all that fun stuff, but that sharing and learning from each other, is to make sure we're staying connected, you know, really via video every single day as a team and with each other. So we haven't been able to recreate those trips that we have so many memories with, but sometimes we'll do viewing parties before games or just meet up prior to that and make sure we're on video or texting or picking who's going to score the first goal tonight, those sorts of things, to try to recreate what we don't have in the office, but are really looking forward to the day that we can welcome everybody back, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know you have some competitive people in the office there, so I'm sure those bingo games and other things get competitive as well. So
absolutely. There's no lack of competitiveness in our group, that's for sure. So whatever we can do to drive that home, we certainly do.
Well, and speaking of being competitive, I know you have a great story in terms of how you started at the Wild and how you've gotten to where you are today and rose in your career. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2000, when the Wild was just in its inception, I was coming out of grad school with my master's in forensic science and looking to just reacquaint myself with the Twin Cities where I'm from, and was looking for a job. And lo and behold, the Wild had a temporary position in the ticket sales area, actually supporting our president and vice president of ticket sales and service that I just happened to fall upon, that landed in my lap, and started in the ticket sales area, just supporting as a ticket assistant at that time, and was really only supposed to be a temporary position to kind of get the franchise launched and help them out. But soon turned into a full-time position in the ticket sales and service area, and quickly grew into a service role, which looked much different back in those days. So I definitely wasn't looking to get into sports and entertainment, but once I was in, I loved every minute of it, and loved the work and the passion that our fans had, and just the passion that all the employees had, and that teamwork philosophy. And I couldn't leave. And 20 years later, here I am.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great story. And, you know, you've taken on a lot of different roles and responsibilities there internally, you know, over those years. One, obviously, in particular right now, it sounds like you're kind of leading the efforts on the COVID side of things. What is, you know, when you kind of step back and look at the past few months and kind of looking forward, but, you know, has it given you a chance to reevaluate what the return might look like for not only your fans, but also your staff, and what kind of protocols might change, and how does COVID play into the future?
Absolutely. I feel like I am a studier of health and safety protocols. And it's interesting how it's even evolved since March when this whole thing started. I remember the day, March 12th, we were supposed to play the Vegas Golden Knights and everything shut down. We couldn't have our game that night. So yeah, Jack Larson and myself, he's our vice president of our building, are working tirelessly on health and safety protocols for the day that we're allowed to have a good number of fans come back in the building. And there are a lot that we need to follow, right? We're studying our Minnesota Department of Health protocols and working with the governor's office. There's a lot of NHL protocols and the CDC guidelines too. So, you know, we're focused on how can we bring fans back in our building and our employees first, and their health and safety is definitely of the utmost importance to us. So there's a lot of things. Currently, we're allowed to have 250 fans in our building. We're limited, but we're looking to grow that number in the future here. And it definitely looks different from our perspective. There's health screenings. We've implemented all mobile ticketing, cashless transactions in our building. People have to health screen and temperature check when they come. No bags are allowed. So it's definitely a process for our fans to come. But at the same time, we want to make sure that they feel safe and secure, that they trust that we have their health and safety in mind when they walk through our doors and onto our campus. And so that's what we're working hard to do, is make sure they feel confident when they enter our building that we're going to take great care of them and that they'll be safe within our walls. So it's been a lot of work. I've learned a lot, but we're looking forward to the day when that number can increase and we're ready for it. I think our team has done a really good job to make sure we're prepared for when we get the green light to have more people, and people should feel confident and safe when they walk through the doors, for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question, is do you feel like your fans, from what you're hearing, I mean, are they excited to get back in the building? Do they feel like they're going to be safe? Like, what are you hearing on the fan side of things?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have, and increasingly, you know, I think now that, you know, our numbers are lower and vaccinations have started, there is an increase in confidence from our fans that they are ready to come back. You know, not everybody's there yet, and we won't really know until we are able to welcome them back. But we are in constant contact with our fans and have done some surveys through the NHL as well. And there's a good number of them who are ready to come back. And I do think part of that is the trust they have in our organization, that they know when we do open our doors and invite them to come back, that we're going to do it the right way. So we're super fortunate to have the loyal fans that we do, and they're ready to see hockey live and in person.
One quick question for you around sales and service. Obviously, you kind of spearhead a lot of the service initiatives there, but in your mind, kind of what comes to the top of your mind of what makes a strong sales and service team working together? Like, what needs to happen from a communication standpoint? And how does that come about when, you know, sales and services working hand in hand and doing the right things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's imperative that those two teams work hand in hand. That transition or handoff from the sales team to the service and retention team is so critical, not only from an internal perspective to make sure those teams are lockstep in what they're doing, and but really from a fan and a customer guest perspective, you want that transition to be seamless, right? You want to make sure that what the sales team is selling and what they're lifting up as the value of somebody's ticket membership can be executed by the service and the retention team. And so it's super critical that the information that both teams have is seamless, and they all feel like they have all the information they need to be successful. And then they can be successful together, right? We try to look at it as we're all in this together. And so if we need to pull on one side or the other, do we all need to support each other in a renewal campaign? Let's dive in and do it. Or vice versa. Is there a game where we really need to lean heavily into some group sales or something like that? How can the retention team support that? I think that's super important. And to look at that big goal that we all have ahead of us instead of our individual little pieces of the pie. And I think that's where true success comes from, is that team mentality instead of the individual mentality. And we find that every day, that we can work together. And I think from a leader perspective, how your leaders give you all the information and coach you all, and treat you to lift you up, because I think our team members work really hard, and they're going to perform at their best when they feel supported too.
Yeah, great answer for sure. Last question, just to wrap up here, let's just talk a little bit about fan engagement and technology, both from like what you're using internally with the Wild, but also too what the fans might start to see. So what are some of the tools you currently use, you know, that help you the most, whether it be text messaging or some other things? And what do you think the fans will see over the next 6 to 12 months?
For sure. Technology is such a great thing. First, I'll say I feel very fortunate that internally we were set and ready to go when this whole thing started and we had to transition from a work from home perspective. We were able to transition seamlessly. So kudos to our IT team for making sure we're on Microsoft Teams, and WebEx are really our tools that we use internally from an employee perspective. From a fan perspective, some of the things that we're looking towards is we're going to use Venuetize as our mobile ordering app and our cashless transactions. We went to digital ticketing several years ago, but are leaning really heavily into the mobile. And when they all come back, it'll all be a mobile environment. So they'll have their loaded value in there. They'll be able to order from their seats, both in our retail locations and our food and beverage locations. That's been a huge project that we've been working on actually while we've been shut down here. And so that'll be key from a fan perspective. Also, really through our mobile ticketing, SafeTix through Ticketmaster is what we've enabled. And we'll have pedestal scanners. So there'll be contactless, which will be different from a fan perspective as well. We are also looking at that communication aspect, right? We do a lot of emailing, but like you mentioned, texting has been huge, both from, I think, a mass perspective, but then a one-on-one perspective as well. Our team had just started using some of our texting capabilities in last winter, and we continue to do that. You know, some of our health screening will be done via text message, which will be super helpful. We use Eloqua for a lot of our email and communication campaigns, which really leads into personalization for our customers, which is super helpful as well. So from a sales team perspective too, we're using a tool called Drift, which is kind of a web chat tool that has been helpful to really just help us narrow down who should be in our sales team pipeline and really get zoned in on those key clients and prospects that they should be following up with. So that's been a great tool, and I'm super excited when we have more of our sales team back in the office to be able to use a tool like that as well. So, you know, there's a lot of technology. Eventually, we'll be going to 5G too. That was a big initiative by the NHL. We're working on that to make sure, you know, really in the 21-22 season that our 5G network will be up and running. And I think our fans will really feel the difference of that in our arena. And then I think some of the fun stuff that the NHL is going to be doing with player puck tracking and all that fun stuff that'll eventually come out that people will be able to follow, really the intensity of the game and what our players are doing on the ice, which will be great as well. So lots of good, exciting stuff from a technology perspective that we've been working on. And now I think with COVID, it's all been accelerated as well. And we've been really able to take the time and make sure we're ready and prepared, you know, over the next 12 to 18 months to make sure we're ready to go with some of this new stuff.
Well, thank you so much for the time here today. That's a lot of great insights and feedback, and looking forward to hopefully catching up at the rink again here sometime soon. But thank you so much for your time, and we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Michael.